This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The end of Matthew's Gospel is about mission or evangelism. It's the nearest thing to a perfect ending, where Jesus talks to his disciples physically for the last time and sends them on their way. He's giving them the equivalent of his last will and testament, so it's important. I've done enough funerals of people who left their wills an absolute mess, or worse still, no wills at all. But the will that Jesus left is the business. Three headings, all beginning with the same letter, so as to please Phil. We have a royal commander. Jesus says all authority has been given to him. It's been handed down. Jesus hasn't seized it as in some military coup. And it's all authority, not some authority. This last can be a hard nettle to grasp, because we'd all like to have our own little spheres of authority. We enjoy our freedoms to choose what we do with our money and our time, who to have as our friends. We might like to choose the subject of conversation around the dinner table. Going further, we might secretly relish being the ones giving advice, setting the standards, being the leaders, being the ones in control. And if everyone does what I say, wouldn't the world be a much better place? But seeing as we have a royal commander, obedience has to be a key element in the Christian life. If we're to obey God, a good start must surely be to learn obedience to our fellows. We generally obey our bosses at work. We pay our taxes, we keep to the speed limits, well, mostly. And certainly people around here have followed the lockdown guidelines, however frustrating they might be. But how good are we at obedience as an option, when, strictly speaking, we don't have to do it? Here's one of many examples. One of the greatest preachers of the last century was Martin Lloyd-Jones. Thousands would come to hear him preach every Sunday in Westminster Chapel. He'd preach for something like 45 minutes to an hour, and they would still be wanting more. My old Bible class leader knew him and invited him to come and give us a talk one Sunday afternoon. Just 50 boys, and for only 15 minutes. And he made a special journey just to do that. Real service. And needless to say, his talk was superb. We have a royal commander, and any service for him, however status-denying, is a vast privilege. Humble service, really humble, completely voluntary service, is a huge witness. Second, we have a royal commission to disciple all the nations. This is rather more than seeing individuals come to Christ, important as that is. It's also more than hearing specialist missionaries or church evangelists and then sitting back and thinking, "I love evangelism, I can watch it for hours." The point is that the Royal Commission is for everybody. It's also global, which could pose a challenge for those who feel uncomfortable with people of a different age range or race or language or culture or standard of living. But God's word knows no boundaries. But here's a problem. In our reading it says that some doubted, even at that moment when they were all with the risen Jesus. Even doubting Thomas had been convinced, What was the matter now? Lack of confidence? Feeling they weren't good enough? Or not good-looking, clever, successful enough, and so on and so on? But the Royal Commission isn't about ourselves at all. It's about Jesus. None of us is really good enough. The Christian writer Adrian Plass has put it this way. We're all rat bags. You're all rat bags, and I'm a rat bag. But we have a great and merciful God who's done marvellous things in Jesus, and he forgives our rat bagness. Furthermore, as one of my commentators says crisply, some doubted, but Jesus told them to go ahead anyway, all of them. My old Bishop of London, David Hope, would say, get on with it. Get on with your prayer, your spirituality, your good deeds, your witness. Just get on with it. 4. If Jesus really holds the keys of life and death, and is the one who will in the end judge us, and if his offer of forgiveness and mercy truly stands, then it really is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Finally, we have our Royal Companion, which is hugely comforting. God's love is with us independently of how we might be feeling at a particular moment. It's simply there. We haven't earned this love. And even if we think we ever did, our human weaknesses and failures would preclude that possibility. But when we confess our failings and ask for God's mercy in Jesus, that mercy comes. When God forgives us, they really are forgiven. When God forgives sins, they really are forgiven. So it's a matter of practicing the presence of God wherever we are and reaching out to people with that love and that presence of God. And we aren't on our own. We're part of the worldwide church. Some years ago, I was in Konstanz in Germany, and I landed up at this Christian concert featuring a band with the catchy name Peter Jansen's Music Orchestra. They played a heady mix of Christian and protest environmental songs. They were quite brilliant. One of the things they did was that they all got us to sing a 5-part round, not easy for some of us. But I still have the score and the words of some of their songs. And one of them goes like this. Einsam bist du klein, aber gemeinsam werden wir Anwalt des Lebendigen sein. Einsam bist du klein. Translated, it means, on your own you are small, but together we will come to represent the living one. Amen.